Welcome to Alls and Pimentos podcast. I'm speaking with the band Diamond Weapon, and the member is
Louis Tensos. How you doing, Sean?
And there you go. What's going on, man? It's been a long time trying to get this going.
It's been a while, but I'm happy we finally do it.
Yeah, me too, man. Your fucking band rips, man.
Thank you, much appreciated. You guys
work really hard, man. And a lot of bands do. So how did Diamond Weapon happen?
So the long and short of it was both myself and Marco, the bass player, were in a band together prior to Diamond Weapon called Tree Star.
Okay.
And that eventually sort of like fizzled out, but we wanted to keep making music together. So we wanted to get like a new project off the ground. And so at the time, I think people were still finding musicians via Kijiji and Craigslist and stuff like that. I don't even know how you find musicians nowadays. I'm glad I don't have to search for anybody, but, back then it was like Kijiji, and, we put in a, put up an ad for a guitarist, a drummer. And at the time it was actually for a singer as well, because I actually had, in Tree Star, I was the guitarist. I was just actually very happy sort of just like being in the background and sort of like just blending in and working on music and not have to worry about lyrics. So we found at the time Nick, who's no longer in the band, but we found him and Jason on drums in the band, but we couldn't find a singer we liked, and they just kept going. He's like, you do it, you know what you're doing. And eventually I got into it, and it was like apprehensive at first, but now like I fully embraced it. I'm like, if we found a singer, I'd be like, no, I am the singer now. So it's something that I've sort of embraced, and that's how Diamond Weapon got started in late 2016, early 2017, and that's when we started gigging as well. Nick left the band in 2021 to pursue his own projects and stuff like that, and Steven and Jason were in a band together. They've known each other since high school. So when we needed a guitarist, Jason was like, we got to go with my buddy, Sipa. He's the guy to go with. And he just brought this really cool element to Diamond Weapon because his screams are so cool. And I was like, okay, it just made my artistic brain sort of like, open up to different ideas. So that's basically how Diamond Weapon came to be as it is today.
How would you describe your genre of music?
Most people will probably say post-hardcore.
Yeah, I would say that for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the most accurate. We're kind of like a throwback post-hardcore band. A lot of the bands that we're influenced by are sort of like the bands from like the late 90s and early 2000s that we sort of grew up listening to, bands like At The Drive-In, bands like Refuse, bands like Glassjaw, that sort of thing. I know we get the comparison to La Dispute a lot. I think it is warranted. I think, they do influence quite a bit. Usually, though, when people ask us that question, I try to, give really sort of, creative answers, though. It's like, what does your band sound like? Oh, if the Talking Heads were a hardcore band. That's basically what we sound like. Or if the Tragically Hip were from Hamilton instead of Kingston. That's what we sound like.
Oh, okay, cool. You guys hip fans, too, yeah?
I am a hip. I know a lot of Canadians that aren't, but I think it's just part and parcel with the territory. Like, I grew up listening to the hip. My dad was a big hip fan, so yeah, I like them.
Yeah, I think they certainly have their place in Canadian music for sure. So
his lyrical style, I will say that too, is like his lyrical style is such an influence. That's sort of like the telling of stories, going back to like when I first became the singer, I was influenced, like I wanted to write songs like At The Drive-In and Thursday, where like everything was a metaphor.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that and like be comfortable. Like everything I felt like I wrote was cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
And then a buddy of mine, Rob, who was the drummer of the band Hot Kid, I was telling him my story. He's like, dude, you're just a good naturally like a storyteller, where like when you have conversations you tell good stories. Just tell stories in your song. have characters, have a beginning, middle, and end. Do it that way.
Well, it's
and I was
like,
okay, I could do that.
It's like the whole like Coheed and Cambria thing too, right?
Exactly, and they're very good at it. Like just painting like a.
Oh, Coheed's really good at it for sure.
Oh yeah, exactly. But the like yeah, the Hip are very good at it too, and throwing that Canadian flavor in it, which is something I do sort of like aspire to do in like future things. You know, to sort of like tell more Canadian stories and stuff that's like very local and dear to me. So, yeah, but the, I think that's a, the Hip are a huge influence in that respect on, my lyrical style at the very least.
Yeah. See, like when I listen to you guys, you guys take me to a time and it got me listening back to post hardcore too, like, Thrice, the first Silverstein album.
Great. Discovering the Waterfront?
No, it's...
the one before that.
The one with the robot on it.
Oh, yes. I can't remember the title, but I know which one you're talking
about.
Yeah,
it's about. A good... It's a fucking banger. And even, like, Hawthorne Heights, stuff like that. It brought me, like, when I started listening to you guys, I'm like, fuck, I forgot about the genre of music. How fucking good it is, and there's a couple bands in Canada that are still fucking making it, which is fucking rad.
Everything comes back, you know. It's like although like someone said to me today, it's like they said like emo nights today is what 80s nights were when we first started going to clubs.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, that's depressing.
Well, whatever,
but like everything is cool again, and like yeah, post-hardcore bands. I mean, like, the When We Were Young festival that happens in Vegas is basically built off of, like, emo, post-hardcore, and punk bands. And it's the stuff that sort of, like, was popular 20 years ago.
Yeah, like, my buddy went to it and he had a fucking blast. Went to the one last year. Shout out to Liam Maynard. And then he's going to the one this year too, but this one this year is more focused on like the emo sort of screamo side of it.
Yeah, but I saw Pretty Girls Makes Graves is reuniting for this one show. And I was like, oh, if I had the money, I would go for that alone.
Yeah, I actually really wanted to fucking because I think Hawthorne Heights is playing that too.
I believe so. Yes.
I fucking love that band, dude. I fucking. their first two albums are amazing. And I think they're recording a new one too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is great. So when do you are you guys recording right now or?
Not at the moment. No, we just came out with our new record, All Heart No Sleeve, back in November, and we're just playing as many shows as we can to promote it right now. We were in talks of potentially doing like an all covers EP.
Oh, nice.
Potentially doing that in the summer and releasing it maybe in like late fall, early winter. I think logistically all the licensing and stuff may not happen, but we might do like one cover song and release that. But I think we've started writing and working on the next release. Maybe 2025, we'll see.
Yeah. The last time you guys All Heart No Sleeve is fucking it's really good too. So you guys did you guys release that on your own or it was is Set on a Hill Records your guys?
Yes it is. I actually like it's sort of been like a pen name record label for a couple years and finally in 2023 I actually registered with the government so I am officially the owner of City Set on a Hill Records as of now and I just did my taxes for the year and had to do my taxes as like a business and stuff like that. So that was a whole new experience though. But yeah, it's basically us. We're releasing it ourselves and you know, we have a lot of help with like pressing it on vinyl and CDs and you know, releasing it through DistroKid to get it on all the places online. So we have help, but yeah, we are basically financing it ourselves. We are our own record label.
And do you guys plan on putting any other bands on the label too, or just you guys, or?
There is a second band on the label, but it's also me. It's my sort of like electro side project, A Tranquil Heart.
Okay.
If the money is there one day, I would love to like, just to, you know, actually run a record label. That is honestly like a dream of mine. It's one of those things too, is like during the pandemic especially, because there was nothing to do, so I took a whole bunch of courses on like producing music and sort of like engineering, mixing, mastering and stuff like that. So the whole the album All Heart No Sleeve, I actually with some a little bit of help from the band, but we produced it ourselves, completely front to back, recording, mixing and mastering. So I would love to do like a thing where it's like I'm running the record label and I'm running a recording studio and I'm putting in music out at the same time, and my partner is like, there's only so many hours of the day, like what are you thinking? And I'm like, just like, when you love music so much, you just, you know, you look to make it work however you can. And I think that's my philosophy on sort of things. It's like, I just enjoy doing it. And I had a conversation with someone the other day. We were talking off air about, you know, I just came from a hockey game. And like someone asked me, is like, you know, why are you playing in hockey? You're not going to make the NHL and you're spending, you know, X amount of fees, X amount of money on like league fees every year. I was like, yeah, well, I do it because it's fun. And it's the same philosophy with music. Yeah, you're putting all this money into it. Maybe you're only getting like a certain amount of it back. But it's worth doing because it's fun. So I don't mind. So that's sort of like my philosophy on it.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is like I work in the culinary world, if you will, as my full-time gig. And back in the day, like I was like, I used to play, and I'm like, and then I got involved in the culinary and sort of put music on the side burner. And then 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago, I was talking to Jennifer about doing a podcast, and she's like, oh, sweet. And then she got me a podcast kit and da da da. And she's like, there you go, do it. And then that's the thing too, is I just do it for the enjoyment too, right? It's like, you know, there's other stuff I can do with it too, which I probably end up will doing. But I just like I like being in the scene. You know what I mean? Like I love being in the punk rock and the music scene. Even like I'm trying to branch out to get a lot more like folk bands and hip hop artists on it too, so that way I don't pigeonhole myself. But I think it's great. I just do it as a fucking hobby. Same thing. Right, just same thing as a band too. Everyone's like, oh, you're gonna make money on this, da da da. I'm like, well, it's like a band. Like you when you're in a band, you don't make money right away, right? You do it because you love it. You do it because you love the art.
Exactly. And good on her for having that philosophy that it's like, if you always want to do it, here's a kit, go do it.
Yeah.
DIY is like, you know, here's the tools you need, learn how to do it. And you know, sometimes you're flying on the seat of your pants, like figuring out, you know, in terms of like podcasts, I imagine like editing and mastering and distribution and stuff like that. But
I do one of the two things out of that. Yeah. But you're like, and that's the thing too, is like with your band too, like who did I fucking hear you guys from? It was either Dan Mills from Wheels on the Bus. I think it was Dan. Or it might have been, fuck, I don't know. And then they said, yeah, we're touring with you guys, whatever. And then I looked you guys up, and it just, like, your band brought me back fucking 20 years. I'm like, I'm so fucking glad you guys are doing this, because that genre of music is actually coming back. It's just like, you know, a physical copy of music albums as well, right? Like, I think the whole Spotify thing is really good to have, but for bands or whatever, but I think the whole physical copy of music is making its way back for sure.
I think, and I think most musicians will agree on this, where Spotify and the platforms like it are generally good for discovery tools. I've discovered a lot of bands that I love right now through Spotify. Bands like Stay Inside, you know, they can, like it was like a recommendation from the algorithm. They're like, hey, we think you'll like this. And I listened to it like, you know, oh my goodness, like this is terrific. This is like cool Brooklyn post-hardcore. This is the sort of stuff I love. But it, as it stands right now, it's just not sustainable. And especially with Spotify being like, oh, plays below 1,000 don't count. You know, we have a handful of songs over 1,000, but you know, a couple of them are still working their way up and not quite there yet. So I think physical media, one and two, is like, I'm a big record collector myself. I'm sitting like in front of my my turntable right now, and it's you know, I go see bands, and they're, if they're good and they have vinyl, I will buy it, and it's because it, you know, it just helps a band get from one city to the next city. So I'm like, hey, this is, you know, it's like, I've discovered you on Spotify, you guys are great, this is me supporting you by, you know, giving you money directly.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing,
especially like
go.
Yeah, like a vinyl record is like the equivalent of like, you know, it's like 15,000 streams. Like no person will listen to a record that much in a lifetime, but it's, you know, it's putting that forward. And like, yeah, just it's almost like I know there's all sorts of services like Patreon and stuff like that, but I'm old school, just buy a record. That's how you can support a band.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is like a lot of bands too, like out of COVID, a lot of bands came out of COVID too, a lot of bands got back together, a lot of bands formed during COVID, right? And I also think that where am I going with this, like that you're seeing like punk rock and stuff, like all like the smaller scenes like in Barrie and Toronto and stuff like that, they're starting to be a lot bigger now because there's a lot of bands formed over COVID and whatever.
And I think that's cool, like, because, you know, maybe not too long ago, maybe like 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, there was sort of like a revival of like the small town, especially in Ontario, the small town Ontario scene.
Yeah.
I know everyone, remembers like St. Catharines because it produced bands like, you know, like Alexis on Fire and Monin and Sleeper Set Sail, because they all sort of like were playing church basements in St. Catharines and built the scene that way. But like some of the most fun shows I've ever played were in like Lindsay, Ontario and Orillia, Ontario, and, you know, places that aren't cities at all. They're like quite literally small towns.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, if you have an all ages show there, the people who like music, the kids who like music, doesn't matter who's playing. They want to go because they just want to support music, and they're just happy supporting bands that are willing to come to their town and put on a show. And that was awesome. Like, shows like that were the most fun. So, you know, I'm hoping this revival of like the small town Ontario scene, you know, keeps building, because I would, you know, love to see it and be a part of it again.
And I think it will, man. And that's the thing too, is like, and even like with skate punk too, like a lot of that stuff's coming back too. Like one of the number one albums of last year was the band Diesel Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that album's a ripper. I had them on the podcast. And a band.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And a band called the Iron Roses. That's what's his face from Boy Sets Fire, the singer, his other band.
Oh, I didn't know he had a new band. I know Boy Sets Fire very well. We covered a Boy Sets Fire song.
Yeah.
It's on our YouTube channel, but I didn't know he had a new project. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's Iron Roses, and he has...
Okay, Iron Roses, yeah.
Yeah, the Iron Roses, and I think they're on the podcast next week. Actually, I think I have to move that. And like a lot of it's come back too, and like a lot of people sit there and say to me too, they're like, okay, well, it's got the... You know, it's because Blink put out a new full length. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Like, I think this stuff would still be coming out and peering its head without Blink 182 releasing a new album.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that.
And I'm not gonna lie, like whatever, like it's I think like the new Blink 182 album, it's fine. Not really, I don't like it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be really positive about it, but I hate it.
I had a discussion with my drummer the other day. Of all the like the especially in the punk rock world, the bands that have come back and sort of like released new music, like the Blink 182 one. Like I know Mark had like throat cancer and stuff like that, but it's like over processed and like over compressed and stuff like that. It sounds like a yeah, like a almost like a techno album, but with like, you know, pop punk, the Green Day album sounds more like a Beatles album.
Yeah, for sure. Like yeah. Album.
Yeah. The new Sum 41 record was actually really good. That's the one of all the ones that have sort of like come back. That's the one that like, you know, oh my God, this is a solid record.
Yeah, I think, I don't think it's all out yet. I know they've released like a few singles, and I feel you on that Green Day record. Like it sounds to me like it's not a punk rock record. It sounds like a Beatles record. It's a rock record. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, exactly.
If you were to sit there, like, I'm a huge Offspring fan, so I think anything they put out, not all of it's fucking good, but whatever. I think if you would put the Green Day album up against Blink 182, I would go with Green Day. But mind you, like, with all the bands that are forming in Ontario and coming out in Ontario, even across Canada too, like, there's a bunch of skate punk bands in Winnipeg. There's a band called One of Us. They're fucking amazing. You gotta check them out. They're really fucking good. But
they're called One of Us?
One of Us, yeah. And the other one's called 22 Months. I'll send you the link.
That would be great. Yeah. We actually share, so we're neighbors in our jam space with a band called Lucid Smog Disorder.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're a fantastic band, and to me, I was having this discussion with the owner of the jam space. He's like, they sound like they're doing Green Day, like Dookie era Green Day now, better than what Green Day's doing right now. So there are smaller local bands, you know, doing it better.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's the thing too. It's like I'm stoked that, you know, like Green Day came with a new album. Ever. I'm glad it's. I have listened to it and it's fine. I like it.
And that's the thing is like we can review it. This is that, you know, musician philosophy. We can listen to it. We can judge it and stuff like that. As long as Green Day and Blink and all those bands are happy doing what they're doing, I'm happy for them.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Like, yeah,
all the more power to them.
Yeah, 110%. And that's and that's the thing too. Is like it's a good album. I like it. It's doing another avenue for a lot of other bands to get noticed as well. Mm-hmm. In my own opinion, but whatever. So you guys covered a cartoon, Clone High.
Yes.
What was that all about?
So, it came about in a sort of like weird roundabout way. I don't know if you're familiar with Glenn Fricker at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got his YouTube channel. So he was like saying he's like I'm thinking about doing a contest this year. This year sort of being 2023. Actually, maybe in 2022. I'm thinking of doing this contest because we did sort of like. They did a contest. It was like metal versions of like cereal jingles.
Okay.
And that was apparently really well received. So he's like, now I'm thinking of doing like a thing of like, you know, metal versions of like cartoon themes.
Okay.
And so we were like, let's, you know, this sounds like fun. Let's do it. But it wasn't cartoon themes. It was just like TV show themes. And I think the original idea was like, what I threw out there was like the theme song from The Littlest Hobo, which is one of my favorite TV shows themes of all time. And it's CanCon, which, you know, I think earns extra points.
Yeah.
But the rest of the band wasn't feeling it. It was our drummer, Jason, who's like, what about like the Clone High theme? I'm like, oh, yeah, that would actually be a lot of fun. So we ended up recording it and doing a version of it, and we were like waiting for this contest to be announced. And waiting for this contest to be announced, and then waiting and waiting, and it just looked like it was never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, well, we're sitting on this song, why don't we just release it normally? And that's what we did, and it's the most listened to song on our Spotify. It just, you know, blew up, and it found like the Clone High fandom. Like a lot of, you know, when I go into like the artist side of the back end of Spotify, it's all these like Clone High theme playlists that like have a song on it.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, it's like, so we've become, you know, unofficially, like we did it on our own. We sort of like became part of the fandom, so which was a lot of fun. And that's the thing too, is like we did this before we knew that they were rebooting Clone High.
Oh, I didn't even know they rebooted
So
it.
oh yeah, exactly. They just finally, season three is out actually. My partner and I have started watching it again. And yeah, so I think it just like it kind of like lit a fuse because it coincided with that, because we put it out and then like all of a sudden 5 months later, you know, Clone High is, you know, there's new episodes. So but yeah, that was fun, and that's how it came about. It was almost an accident.
Yeah, and like, who does all the artwork for you guys for the album covers?
They vary. Like our first album was done by Jake Calben.
Yeah.
It's one of you know, he did an amazing job. I actually have like the cover framed on the wall in my studio, like my little home studio. I can't remember who did the photography on our EP, but he did a great job. A lot of the singles and stuff like that are kind of like stock photos that I manipulate on my end and sort of like work my Photoshop magic with it. But All Heart No Sleeve was actually AI generated. I decided to go with that as opposed to like the stock photo, and I had something that came up that I liked, tweaked it a bit in Photoshop, but did a couple edits. So it's not just that, it's also partially, you know, my own to the best of my abilities. Because that's a whole other can of worms. You know, I felt guilty the entire time doing it.
Oh, really? Why?
You know, because there is a thing, it's like, well, you're stealing, you know, that is money that could go to an artist that could do you. But I'm
Yeah,
like,
I get you. Yeah, okay.
but is it really? Because if I weren't doing that, I would be doing it on my own in another way. I would probably make the art somehow, or I would take a photo, or do something. Because we're a very DIY band, we try to keep as much of everything in the music, but also like the artwork and everything like that within the band. So I wouldn't necessarily do that, because I'd probably find another way to make the album art on
Yeah.
my own. So I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I do get the argument. And you know, like I said, there's a Pandora's box that's just opening now, and we just, you know, we're dealing with it. But that's what happened in that scenario. It was like it was AI art, and I changed it around to make it to, you know, what it is.
No, it's whatever. It's all good though. Looks great. And even
Thank
like
you.
yeah, no, it's like even like a lot of the other album artwork, it reminds me of fuck dude. 2001, like Master Clone High, even the first album you guys did, All I Wanted.
Yeah.
It just like
I
reminds
told
me,
the artist that all I wanted. Oh, go
it
ahead.
reminds me of like I said, like early 2000s screamo post-hardcore.
Yeah, exactly. I think, especially All I Wanted, I think I told Jake Alben, I was like, I want like a Legend of Zelda vibe with it. But it actually reminds me of like, I think it was the Funeral of the Friend record, where they're in front of the moon and it's
Yeah.
like the two people facing the opposite way. So
Fucking great
yeah,
album.
I think it's just that style. Like, you know, it's one of those things that I guess it just innate to post-hardcore, where bands want artwork like that.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing too. Is like even like I said, like the Clone High, like it just reminds like all the other and even the new album cover too reminds me of who is that? Mr. Martini? Even the All Heart No Sleeve cover too reminds me of that as well. Give me your favorite three bands. Can you do that?
Well, I'll do my best.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can do five. Let's do five.
We'll do fire. Okay, yeah. Five might even be harder.
Yeah.
But I'll give it my best shot. Okay, so top two, and they're always interchangeable. Because one of them I think has the longevity. They've just put out so much good music, and that's Thrice.
Yeah, man.
And the other one is put out to me what is like the perfect record, A plus record, which is The Relationship of Command by At the Drive-In.
Yeah, okay.
So that's like one and two. Three is tough.
Thrice Artisan Ambulance, that fucking album is probably my...
Oh, banger.
Dude.
Did you listen to, like, they just re-recorded every song?
Yeah.
Like, updated 2022, I think it was. And it was good.
Oh, no, I know. I bought it on vinyl.
No, excellent. Yeah.
I thought it was really great. And that's the thing, too, is, like, that fucking album, dude, like, that album opened a lot of fucking doors for a lot of bands and open a lot of eyes. You can listen to that album from track one right to the end, and there's not a bad song on it.
Yep, exactly. Agreed wholeheartedly.
It's probably my number. It'll be in my top 10 albums of all time for sure.
I go back and forth with that and Visu. Visu was a solid album as well. That was one, because I was a little bit late to the party. So Visu was actually the album that introduced me to Thrice. And I became a fan, but then I went back and listened to The Artist of the Ambulance. And I'm like, oh, this record is perfect.
Yeah, it is. Another Thrice album, and I was just listening to it. I guess it was yesterday. To Be Everywhere is To Be Nowhere.
Oh, yep. So, is that the one with Black Honey?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a solid record too.
Yeah, man. When they redid the Artisan Ambulance, fuck, dude, come on. Like, you can't even, I don't know. It's a fucking great record.
We don't have many, like, as many releases under our belt, but I'm always thinking now is, like, some of those early songs from, like, the first album, the first EP. It's like, I would love to re-record them now, knowing what I do maybe about, like, studio production and, like, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. So, like, I would love another crack at that song, sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's, you can always do that too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, music production is just so easy now and so accessible nowadays. It's like, I took those courses through, what was the name of the place where I got the courses? Nail the Mix.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron from Of Mice and Men was doing, like, one of the courses.
Was that all online too, yeah?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he was doing, like, a live stream. It's like, okay, this is how I recorded this song. And it's, like, all digital amps. The drums were programmed, you know, they were MIDI. Like, they may have been triggered, like, by the drummer actually playing with it, but they were, like, you know, electronic drums. But it's just like, you don't need a big studio anymore. You just need a laptop and an audio interface, and you can make, you know, huge sounding albums. It's great, and it's very accessible. So, you know, there's still room for, like, the professional producer in the world, the someone who's making, like, the album, you know, the top charting album and stuff like that. But, you know, bands are making their own demos and releasing their own music now and doing it themselves on Spotify, and I think that's great.
Yeah, it's, I think, like, there's still room for all that stuff too, and there's also a little bit DIY stuff at home as well too, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
I think the industry has changed a little bit. I think it's going back, like I was talking with Drug Wolf, like with physical copies and stuff like that too. Like, it's all coming back around.
I think people are buying CDs again. It's weird. Like, they were obsolete, like, 5 years ago, and, you know, like, cassettes have made a comeback too. Like, people are buying, you know.
Yeah, man.
People like physical again.
Well, that's the thing too, is, like, you don't, like, when you sit there and stream a band off of Spotify, you don't get to sit there and read and hold the liner notes in your hand anymore, right? You know, like, there's that option where, like, it, you know, shows you the song and it shows you the lyrics and stuff like that. But I think it's a lot different than buying a record or a tape or a CD. Like, I still buy CDs now for my shows. Like, and same with tapes too. Like, Tarantula Tapes, man, they've done a really good thing in Barrie. Shout out to Corey and Casey. Yeah, man. So, hockey, who is your team?
Please don't hate me, everyone who's listening. I am a Toronto Maple Leafs guy.
Yeah, I used to be too. It's fine. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's like I grew up, especially in the heyday, like I wear 17 because Wendell Clark was my favorite player growing up. Yeah, they're my boys and I love them and they break my heart every year, but you know, that'll never change.
Yeah, it's the same thing too, man, is like I used to be a Leaf fan. I got, just got tired of cheering for the fucking team. I got tired of getting disappointed. So now my flag waves in between Montreal and Edmonton, and that's where it's going to stay.
Okay, there you go. You planted it firmly in the ground.
That's
but it. In between two cities.
Between two cities, but whatever. I think the Habs will be good in the next, like, 4 years. Hopefully Edmonton gets their shit together and they could win the Stanley Cup.
Edmonton's got a shot this year. Like, I like the moves that they've done at the deadline. I think they've done. I've liked the moves, especially Winnipeg did at the deadline. I think they've got like a real shot. Miller is an underrated pickup. He's a good player.
And I think it's going to be it'll be all right. I think they'll be fine. The Oilers, I'm saying. The Leafs, yeah. I don't think they have a shot in hell. I'm sorry.
I don't see them beating the Bruins or the...
Bruins are fucking either, huge, man.
I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
The Bruins are huge. And they have they have a fucking team, dude. Other than that, you have any shows coming up? Or?
Yep, so we've got a little mini run happening in April. We're hitting up Toronto, Oshawa and Montreal on 420, which will be very nice, and it's our first time there, so we're really looking forward to it. And then we got a big Toronto show coming up, which I can't announce just yet, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it.
Wicked. All right, we've been talking for 36 minutes and 52 seconds. This is the part of the podcast where you give me all the socials.
So on our socials, we're at Diamond Weapon Band just about everywhere, except for Twitter for some reason. There we're Diamond Weapon TO. You can find us on just about everything.
Yeah, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok?
TikTok, barely used, but I'm trying to, trying to post there more often.
Yeah, it's hard. I know what you mean. It's like... Once you get like, I don't know, I don't post on Facebook at all. It's usually just Instagram, TikTok, but Instagram usually takes up a good fucking hour and a half of my day. So.
Yep, that sounds about right with me too.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever, man. Facebook is for like your grandmother's fucking apple pie and shit. Like, whatever. Like, it's a dead media in my own opinion, but. Or a dead platform, but. That's why they have Instagram.
You know, that's I still want people's grandmas to come to the show, so I'll keep using it.
There you go, right? All right, dude, thanks for doing this thing. Stay on the line, eh?
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, all right, bud.